to this week's episode of MCW Fancast, the official Manchester City Women's Supporters podcast. I'm Emma, thanks for listening. In this week's episode, we preview our first opening WSL fixture away to current league champions Chelsea Women FC. I could barely get a word in today from the OFC and Chelsea fan Simon. Dave also has his essential away days information for fans making the trip down to Kings Meadow Stadium this Sunday. But first, players are returning back to their respective clubs ahead of the start of the season this weekend after breaking for international duty. There's been a host of qualifying matches resulting in confirmation of the group standings, which saw automatic qualification for next year's World Cup, which is to be held in France. England secured their place in the competition, having beaten Wales 3-0 in Newport, and history maker Scotland, who will also be involved in the competition for the first time, having beaten Albania 2-1. We now also know which four teams have made playoff places, those teams being Belgium, Denmark, the Netherlands and Switzerland, and only one of those teams will progress to the World Cup next year. A few fans from the OSC made trips to Newport and even Dublin to watch some international football last week. Here we've got their fan diaries, so thank you for sharing these with us.
I'm a season card holder at Man City Women and I'm a member of the Supporters Club, and I'm here in Dublin with Rob.
Hi, I'm Rob. I'm also a season card holder with Man City Women and Man City Men, and we're here in Dublin to watch the World Cup qualifier between Northern Ireland and Ireland at Connacht.
Yep, we were in Ireland anyway on holiday, so we thought it'd be a good chance to take the chance to go and see the international game. We were hoping to see Megan Campbell playing for Republic of Ireland tonight, because I know that she was originally planning for this to be the game that she came back from her horrible injury, but I don't think that she's likely to play tonight. But never mind, we're still looking forward to going. Neither team can qualify for the World Cups, but it should still be a good game. Rob, what do you think is going to happen? Who do you think is going to win?
I think it will be 3-0 to the Republic of Ireland, which was the score in the reverse game, which was quite a long time ago now. Apart from that, I can't really see anything else happening.
Yep, we've arrived at Tallaght, which is a surprisingly long way from Dublin on the bus, but we got here in time for the anthems and kickoff, and now they're just kicking off. So, yeah, come on, Ireland. Right, it's half time and Republic of Ireland are already 3-0 up, so it's looking like Rob's prediction was a bit conservative. Ireland have had most of the play, have dominated. Northern Ireland haven't really had many attempts at anything. Rob, who've impressed you most in the first half?
I've been impressed by Leanne Kiernan, one of Ireland's forwards.
Amongst other things, at half-time they've been honouring some women who played in the first international football game that was ever played by Irish women back in 1968, so that's nice. Haven't seen or heard an attendance figure yet, but there's a pretty decent crowd. It's good to see people of all ages, lots of families, lots of young girls. And the President of Ireland, Michael Higgins, is here as well. It's full time. It's finished 4-0 to Republic of Ireland. Northern Ireland were actually better in the second half, particularly in their defence. Didn't have many chances on goal, and they only managed to let one in instead of three in the first half. But it was definitely very much Republic of Ireland's match all evening. Rob, you were saying at half time, who was your favourite player for Republic?
I was very impressed with Leanne Kiernan, one of Ireland's forwards who had two of the goals in the first half and eventually ran out the player of the match according to the RTE panel, which included Megan Campbell, of course, who wasn't playing.
And Leanne Kiernan plays for West Ham United, so she's going to be one for us to watch out for this season. I also was impressed in bursts with Heather Payne, who's a young player who's just signed for Bristol City, so she's another one to look out for. The Attendance overall was just over 1,600, and yeah, we had a good time. I also loved a little girl in the island poncho that her auntie had crocheted for her. Very nice.
Just one final thing from me is that Colin Bell, but not that Colin Bell, will be happy tonight that his team ran out 4-0 winners.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, so here we are at Rodney Parade. This is Jude. Got Kaz with me as well. Say hello, Kaz.
Hello, Kaz.
Thank you. So it's a lovely sunny evening. Sun's just going to go behind the ground. It's starting to fill up nicely here for the Wales v England game. Lots of Welsh fans come along, lots of England fans that are going to be now. It's nice and loud. So, Kaz, looking forward to the game tonight?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think we're going to be attacking, and I predict that we're going to win 2-0.
Who do you think's going to score?
Jodie Taylor and Rachel Daly.
Rachel Daly, oh yeah, I'd like to see Rachel score. And I think Jodie Taylor's due a goal as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Okay, well, we'll catch up later. I'm going to go and find some more of the City Supporters Club because there's quite a few of us here tonight. So we'll catch up later. Right, so I've bumped into Kaf Kelly now. So, hi Kaf, nice to see you.
You all right, mate? You have a good journey down?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Cool. Lot here, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot more Welsh, but, you know, we'll hopefully do them proud.
We're at separate ends of the stand, so we're going to do it in stereo so that it just works out.
So, Kaf, what do you think? What are we going to do tonight? What's the score going to be?
2-1.
2-1, 2.
To us,
to England.
Yeah, I think 2-1. Yeah. But having seen what he's put out, he's put an attacking field out, hasn't he?
Yes,
so
yes.
So we could have something like a 4-something
score.
Because this lady doesn't think they're going to score.
Last time we watched the game in Southampton, they just parked the bus.
Yeah, we were the...
They didn't even get out of their bloody arm.
All right, we'll edit the swearing. We'll edit the swearing.
Oh, sorry. So,
but it's good to have some passionate fans. So, okay, so who do you think is going to score, did you say?
I think Duggan's going to get one.
Yeah?
I think who we've got on at the moment, obviously Fran's going to get one.
Yeah?
She's scary.
Yeah?
And maybe Fran will get two, and I'm hoping Keats will stick one in there.
So that's three then?
That's four, isn't
it?
With
it's
Duggan.
Four,
two for Fran, one for Keats, and one for Duggan.
Brilliant.
With we've got going forward today.
Great. Thanks, Kaf. So enjoy the game.
Yeah, we'll
do. And might see you later.
Might see you later. If not, we'll see you next week.
Exactly. See you soon. Cheers, Kaf. So we found Leanne. So, Leanne, 0-0 at half time. What do you think of the game?
Very interesting. There's a lot of attacking for both, but you know. Goal disallowed, shouldn't have been disallowed. See how it goes at second half.
Wait a minute, yeah?
Yeah, see how it goes. Yeah. I think, you know, if we carry on attacking like we are, then, yeah, I think it'll be, you know, very close one, maybe 2-0 to us. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah. Good atmosphere though, isn't it?
Oh, brilliant atmosphere. Even though there's only, what, 220 of us, we're making, you know, more noise than them. So to carry it going and encourage the players to carry on going the way they are.
Brilliant. Thanks, Leanne. Enjoy the second half. And we found Rich as well. Hi, Richard. How are you doing? How you find the game so far?
Feels like Southampton Mark 2.
Does it?
Lots and lots of chances, just not going in the back of the net.
Yeah. What do we need to change anything, or we keep doing the same thing?
I think just doing more of the same. Not sure Keats was offside or what the problem was with that goal, but...
Nah, that seems to be quite a familiar common feeling, should I say, for the fans here as well.
I'm not sure that one on Jodie Taylor was a penalty. She seemed to be hand across them, over the top.
Yeah, I thought that.
I'd like to see a replay on that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, enjoy the second half.
Thank you very much.
So, game's over, 1-3, 3-0, off to France.
Oh, brilliant feeling.
Yeah,
happy with that?
Really good.
Yeah, second half, you could feel that the goal was coming.
Yeah.
Pressure. And Tony Duggan, Leicester cotton socks, on the fringe all night. What a goal to seal it, you know.
It was good.
Excellent. The key to Parish, what can you say about her?
She was on fire.
She was on fire.
I think Scotty had a good game as well. So I think the general consensus from the travelling supporters club is we won 3-0 and we're going to France. We'll be right back.
are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm how are you? You're looking forward to Sunday?
I am, I can't wait. I'm really excited to get back to the WSL. A massive fixture against Chelsea. What do fans need to know for travelling down to King's Meadow? I believe you've got some match day information for us.
It's the games at the King's Meadow Stadium. To give you its full title, the King's Meadow Cherry Red Accord Stadium. Sir Jack Goodchild Way. It's the home of AFC Wimbledon. It's in Kingston upon Thames. If anyone needs a sat-nav code, it's KT13PB. Now, kick-off is 2 p.m. So we would advise 4 to 5 hours at least travelling. Obviously, that allows for stopping for a break because it's quite a distance and any traffic you might have on the way. It's about 5 hours from the Academy Stadium with a stop. Parking at the ground is limited. The ground is next to sort of like a leisure complex and there is parking available there for free, but it's quite limited. So if you're not there early enough, you may not get on the parking. But there is quite an extensive street parking around it, not too far. There's two public car parks about 10 minutes away, and the street parking, especially on a Sunday, around the area. So parking's not too bad, especially for London. It is free at the ground, as I say. Now, refreshment-wise, before people go into the ground, there is a bar. There's a social club bar. It's at the bottom end, and you'll see signs pointing towards it. It's at the bottom end of the main stand where the car park is. It's like a bar. So it's just served food as well, but it's mainly a bar. But away fans are welcome in there, and we've been in it a few times. That's it. It's right at the far end. Try not to go in the door before halfway down, as I did last year, and interrupt Emma Hayes' team talk. that's open usually for about 2 hours before kick-off, roughly. So anyone, if you get there early, you can, and you fancy a tipple, going there. Around the corner from the ground is on the main road. You'll see there is a cafe called Fat Boys. A lot of fans gather in there because although it's a lovely cafe, they do all sorts of stuff. And when it being a Sunday, there'll be a lot of Sunday breakfast going and things like that. They welcome away fans as well as a home fan. They have a bit of banter in there, and it also serves alcohol. Even though it's a cafe, it does have a bar. So if anyone getting there early, those are the two choices. If you want to go and have something to eat or drink inside the ground, there are refreshments. Kiosks as usual in the way, and I'll go more into where we are in the ground in a minute. Now on Sunday there is an OFC coach going, so I'm just going to give out a few details for anyone that's on the coach, if that's okay, Emma. So,
yeah, of course, go ahead.
The OFC coach itself is departing from 7 a.m. from the blue car park at the Etihad Stadium. Now you can park your car securely all day. Anyone that's on the coach can drive the car to the blue car park, park up for the day and leave the car there. It will be locked up when the ground shuts, and you open up to return to your car when the coach arrives back in Manchester. So it's the blue car park, which is the big car park right at the back of the stadium where the gasometer is, behind the shop off Alan Turing Way. Now, as I say, it's a 7 p.m. departure. If you are on the coach, please don't be late, because obviously you'll be holding everyone else up. It's going at 7 to give ourselves plenty of time to get there, and obviously, like I said, there'll be the obligatory stop because there'll be two drivers and they'll want to swap over. I would imagine they'll probably stop at Norton Keynes on the way and give you an hour to have a break and whatever and stretch your legs. So that's anyone that's on the OFC coach, that's the details for that. Now back to the game. 50 fans, we are gathered in the north stand, which is the stand behind the goal. You'll see us in the corner. Now a lot of City fans have pre-ordered and received their tickets already through the post. They were £6 and £3. Now, Chelsea have quite a strange pricing policy in that they have different prices for different dates depending on the competition they were in last year. For instance, the Conti Cup tickets were only £3. But these ones on Sunday, the league ones that pre-ordered £6 and £3 for concessions. You can buy tickets on the day. There will be a ticket booth outside. You may find it's a slight bit more expensive than some clubs operate, where it's sometimes £1 here on the day. I honestly don't know. It may be the same. You can buy tickets on the day, but please, when you do buy a ticket, if you're buying one on the day, do emphasise you want one if you want to sit with us in the north stand. Because last year there was quite a lot of confusion. They were sending people to the main stand, and people would come together and ended up in two different stands.
Mm-hmm.
So ask for the north stand, which is the stand behind the goal. We either gather in the corner. Basically, it's next to where the teams come out. think the stewards there are fine. They're okay. We've got on with the stewards fine. Some of the club officials have been a bit obstinate in the past, but the stewards, everything, we have a really good laugh with it. Now, programmes, you mustn't, if you're a programme collector like yourself, they sell them outside the ground, not in the side. So when you're outside the ground, you'll see the ticket booth, and if you're heading towards the bar that I mentioned earlier, you'll see they set up like a gazebo, and under there they sell the programmes, and there's, I think there was £2 last year, so if you're an avid programme collector like myself, you'll want to get a programme outside the ground. It's sometimes difficult to get one inside the ground. And I think that's pretty much all your info. As ever, if I can help anyone with any specific stuff, if you get in touch with me on Twitter at MCWSC_OSC, I will endeavour to help anyone with any specific queries. If I don't know the answer, I'll check it up and get back to you.
Okay, Dave, thank you for all that information. Huge fixture to open the WSL. I'm quite nervous about it, but looking forward to it at the same time as well. Look forward to seeing you there.
Will do indeed. Yeah, have a safe trip, Emma, and I'll see you down there.
Yeah, see you there. Thanks, Dave. This should be fun. I've got Dave with me from the OSC, and I've got Simon, who's a Chelsea fan. I have no idea what is going to happen, but we're going to try and talk about the fixture at the weekend, the opening game for the WSL season. We're making a trip down to King's Meadow. We are playing the current champions of the WSL League, Chelsea. Guys, what are you expecting from this weekend?
It's going to be abuse, tears, possibly a little cuddle afterwards.
I hope there's no tears.
Well, it won't be from the City lot. Last time I sat with the City lot, there was a couple of tears, weren't there, Dave?
There was a lot more tears the day that we beat you, though, wasn't there?
Well, I kept getting hit, around, kept getting hit in the head with a newspaper by the other day, so that's funny.
I don't think that anyone could argue that obviously Chelsea had a very, very good season last season. Kings Meadow became a bit of a fortress and suffered little defeat whilst playing at home, having only lost to, was it Wolfsburg in the Champions League? How do you think the loss of like key players such as Chapman and Rafferty will impact on the squad when the team need to draw on their experiences and find the results in testing fixtures? How do you think they'll cope with that?
I think we'll cope pretty well. I mean, we've brought in some couple of new players, younger players, which I think will help us out. I mean, we've got a good striking force as well. Yeah. Obviously, with Fran Kirby playing as well as she's done in the was it the Euros that they've just done?
Yeah, the qualifying games for the World Cup next year.
That's it. So I think she's done pretty well there. We've got a quite a strong midfield as well, so I think we'll be all right.
Dave, Alan wanted to know, obviously with Chelsea being the first game of the season, do you think it'll be easier for us to play Chelsea now rather than at a later point of the season?
I don't think it's ever easy to go there. I think it's a difficult place to go whenever you go there, to be honest with you. I mean, what I will say is that I don't think it defines the season. I mean, Nick said last year that he didn't think the head-to-head between us and Chelsea would define the title. It'll be the one, the games in between.
Yeah.
I think he was spot on, because if you look at the two league games they were drawn, we won the Cup semi-final against Chelsea, they won the other one. So we played four times and it was very even. So, you know, I don't think it's ever an easy time to go there and play them. Obviously, they are the double winners and it's a difficult fixture. But, maybe playing them first will be beneficial to us.
Hmm. What do you think, Simon?
It's going to be a long season for both the teams, I think. I can't really say, obviously, being Chelsea versus City at the start of the season, it's going to have any sort of impact on the title. It's going to be a case of obviously a start up to the season, and
it's not going to define who wins the league.
But I think it's right in saying that both teams are what are going into this fixture at the weekend and come away with it with 3 points and get that perfect start.
I think it'll give whoever wins, it gives them a marker and it gives them a head start, obviously. But as Simon says, it's a long way to go. It's only the first game. So, there's a lot of other good sides this season. I think City and Chelsea are obviously the two favourites for the title. But, you look at Arsenal, they fought well in the summer.
Yeah.
I think they'll be a threat. I think there's teams like Reading, Birmingham, that on the day they can cause anyone trouble. They both beat us last season.
Yeah.
We know they're good teams. So it's not just City and Chelsea.
Yeah. And Simon, how do you feel that the pre-season's gone for you? Obviously, you've had your couple of good results for the County Cup and a couple of friendlies beforehand. How have you seen the team progress over the summer? And what have been the key points that you've seen in the team, obviously, going forward that you think look good?
And again, it's obviously pre-season. This is obviously a warm-up. It's trying to get all players back together and fit again. They're looking strong. I think obviously with the results that we have had, I think it's going to help us with the start of our season. And how well we progress.
Yeah. Sue Smith spoke earlier in the week, and she was talking about Chelsea, saying how Chelsea are the team to beat this season. Do you agree with that? Is it something you want to argue the toss over with Dave?
I think obviously, yeah. I mean, I think they're obviously going to be one of the main teams. Yeah, I think they bought well. I think they bought Jess Carter, haven't they, from Birmingham for a start. She's a great player. But they've lost a lot of experience as well, Chelsea. They've lost some experienced players, haven't they?
Yeah.
Luke Cole, Chapman, people like that. I'm a big fan of Gemma Davison. And she's gone to Reading, Gemma Davison, I believe, and players like that. So they have lost as well. So will those players they brought in fit straight away? Never know where you bring in new players. From City's point of view, I've been very impressed with our new players so far in pre-season, the Barcelona game and the two County Cup games we've played. I thought that our new signings have gelled pretty fast. I think they look, the midfield looks very strong.
Yeah.
And I've been really impressed. We've also, if you remember, besides the new signings we've bought, we've got Pauline Bremer to come back in at some point. Will be like other new signing, won't she? Because obviously we lost her early on last season and she missed, with a terrible injury. So if we can get her back, there's another new striker that, we like another new player to the team. So I'm hopeful for this season. I really am thinking that, we can win it.
Yeah, it's certainly going to... Chelsea, obviously, they're saying they'll probably think that they can win it too. And it's definitely, obviously, like you said, from Arsenal, Reading's point of view, they'll also feel that they could potentially have a hand on it as well because, like you said, they have strengthened and they have, addressed key areas and stuff. But they seem... those two teams in particular are the teams that seem to have slowly been progressing, working up. And obviously, since Joe's come in at Arsenal... the impact that he's had has been really, really positive. It's going to definitely be one of the most competitive seasons, I think, that, on paper, it's certainly going to be really competitive.
I honestly believe that if Chelsea and City aren't at their best this season, then Arsenal would win the league. I think they are good enough to do it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I also think teams like Birmingham and Reading are as good as anyone on the day as well.
I think I've said it before, but just to say it again, Arsenal, obviously, since Joe come in and he started all that the work with the team and obviously changing their attitude towards the games that they were playing and the mentality and sort of thing, that they were getting those fixtures. Obviously, when it came down towards, the last couple of games of the season and Arsenal were pretty on our tail, for fighting for that Champions League place. I think that if they start their season the way they finished it, I'm worried about what kind of an impact they could have on us in terms of obviously adding pressure to our game sort of thing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's good that... obviously, Arsenal, I think they've gone into like a bit of a transition period over what the Liverpool men's have done. For what I can remember, Arsenal ladies used to dominate. Like every time I watched them on the TV, it was Arsenal won the cup, Arsenal won the league. And then they sort of sort of faded out a bit. It's become Chelsea and City over the last few years.
Mm.
So it's, I suppose from a neutral point of view, it's also good to see the fact that the big clubs, i.e. Arsenal, are strengthening to make the league more appealing to, I suppose, young fans as well, like people who are trying to get into the women's game as well. I think obviously where it's a massive, massive thing where it's growing quite rapidly, and so it should be. I think it's also good for the teams like Arsenal, all that lot, to invest in the clubs as well, and it's going to make it more of a change in the season.
I've got a question here for Simon from Jude. She'd like to know, how do you think the new additions to the Chelsea squad will fit into the team, and how do you think it'll be enough to replace some of the bigger names that you've lost over the summer?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you guys are saying with Maluko. To be fair, obviously with what happened with her in the World Cup, I don't think she really played much for Chelsea last season anyway. From what I can remember, is the sort of lights went on to Frank Kirby more than anything. So I think, yes, we have lost her, but I think we've also got a good enough squad there to keep it going.
And he was the type of player, though, that could be substituted and be brought on in, like, you know, like the 70th minute of the game, and have an impact on the game and get you that goal when you needed it. She's one of those players. Who do you think you'd look to maybe do that for you now?
I don't know, really. I think anyone on that bench can come on and score a goal.
Yeah.
It's just obviously whether or not they can dig in deep, and obviously how the manager affects on the players, isn't it? It's all about the manager on what she can get out of her players. I mean, Emma Hayes is a good manager.
Yeah.
I think she brings out the very best of the players as what she's got.
Yeah. And who do you think... who will be the one to watch, do you think, this season? I mean, Erin Cuthbert, for me, I mean, she's doing really well at the moment. You know, she's obviously gone away with Scotland. She's had, you know, a great couple of games with them on international, and obviously pre-season as well. She just seems to be going from strength to strength. I don't know what's wrong with me.
She talked too fast. Yeah. Actually, I had a problem with talking too fast.
Erin, you know, one to watch for me. Is there anyone else that you think will stand out for you next season?
I don't really know, to be honest.
Sounds like a no. I rate Frank Kirby. I think Frank Kirby is a very good striker. So if they keep her fit and she scores a goal she scored last season, obviously, she is a key player for them.
Yeah.
Backman's a good player as well, isn't she?
Yeah, Backman's fantastic.
Backman, they're good players. There's no two ways about it. But I think from a City point of view, we focus on ourselves and our own players, and we don't worry about anyone else.
Mm.
I was going to say Frank Kirby, but I didn't want to state the obvious.
Yeah,
but I mean, it is obvious. But she is a good player. There's no two ways about it. I'm a big fan of Fran. She's a great striker.
I mean, obviously, talking about Fran, I mean, I don't think that anyone could argue with the fact that obviously Fran Kirby had the season of her life last season. You know, she was in unbelievable form. She was nominated for countless awards and notably won the PFA Player of the Year. And there's no doubt that she'll be keen to feature in Sunday's game, but she did pick up that knock against Wales during the international break. And there's a bit of uncertainty of whether she'll be included in the squad or not. Do you think she'll be fit for Sunday, or have you got any thoughts on that?
I reckon she'll probably start as a sub. If she's picked up or not, I don't think Emma's going to want to risk her to obviously cause much more damage than not catching your fever now.
I know.
I don't think she'd want to risk Fran to be out as long as what she is, so I think she'll probably do like the last 20 minutes or something just to ease her back into it and see how she's feeling for the rest of the season, I suppose.
And I've also got a question from Kath. Do you think teams should concentrate on one trophy in particular, or do you think they should set their ambitions a bit higher for the season and just go for them all? Have you got a, you know, one trophy in particular that you'd like the club to go for? I mean, I probably think obviously Champions League would be reminiscent between both yourself and Dave. So what do you
I mean, from a City point of view, I think, you know, I look at it almost similar way to how Pep would look at it with the men. You know, a trophy is a trophy. You should go for them all.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason why if you win one, you can't win one of the other ones as well.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there's four trophies up for grabs, isn't there, basically. There's the two domestic cups, the league and the Champions League. Obviously, it's very hard to win, obviously, to win all four. It's never been done. It's difficult, isn't it? But, you know, go for them. Why not?
Mm.
Set your sights high.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'd love to see, obviously, us do well, and until obviously if we get through the knockout stages, I'd love to see Chelsea focus more on the Champions League, because it's a cup that the women's side hasn't won. So I'd love to see them.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a difficult draw, haven't we, with Madrid? But, you know, it's the Champions League. You know, you're going to have to play these decent sides to win it.
Yeah.
So. And can you make a note of the date there, Emma? Because he's just agreed with me, and that's the first time ever. So,
yeah, I'll make a note of it just in case we need to refer back to it in the future.
I've been drinking, Dave. So,
ask him where he's sitting with on Sunday. Ask him which end he's in.
Where are you sitting, Simon?
I'm in the south stand.
No, he's not.
So let's get your predictions then for the game on Sunday. What do you reckon's going to happen?
Me and Simon will stop talking just about half time. We'll fall out and be friends again by the end. I'm gonna be positive. I mean, it could easily be a draw, but I'm gonna be positive. I'm gonna go 2-1 to City.
Okay.
Well, I was gonna say 2-1 to Chelsea. If I'm honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bit like that.
I reckon Tony Duggan's going to be there to watch the game.
Right. So, yeah.
That's his favourite player, Tony. Tony's his favourite.
All-time favourite player, Simon.
Oh, he's his all-time favourite player, yes.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's going to be one goal that's going to decide the game either way. I think it's going to be quite a close game. I hope it's a game that's got goals and a bit of drama, just because it's the opening game of the season. It's probably the biggest, obviously, fixture of the whole entire weekend. So it'll be one to look forward to for sure. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, Simon.
Yeah. Likewise.
And hopefully we'll catch up with you before the game, or get a drink or something.
Oh, that sounds like a plan to me.
But thank you for your time anyway, and coming on and chatting with us.
Hey, you're more than welcome.
And I'll speak to you again soon.
See you later, mate.
See you Sunday, mate.
Take care, mate. Bye, bye.
We asked Twitter for your predictions for the match on Sunday. Caff went 1-1 with Tessa Wallart scoring for City. Chelsea FC women fans went 2-1 Chelsea. Women's football yearbook went 2-2. And without football, life is boring. 2-1 with Manchester City getting the result there. Paris and Stanway getting the goals. And that's it for this week's episode of MCW Fancast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Next week we'll be catching up with fans and getting their match reactions from the opening WSL weekend. Let us know your thoughts on this week's episode, and make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at MCW Fancast. And if you're going to the game on Sunday and you see us, do say hello. I'm just going to leave you with this little bit of audio from the game against Wales last week.
Oh, crowd's going mad. The whole team's come over.